मोकम करोति वाचालम् पंगुम लंघयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्येश्वरं. So the translation of this particular shloka and the purport, there is no relation to both. Prabhupada has picked up the word Manu and then he has given his, he's glorifying that how preaching is happening. It is so nice, you know, to see the mood of the Acharya and his gratitude and his submission to his superiors. You know, this purport makes it very clear. And also the importance of preaching is also highlighted in this particular purport. So, regarding the verses, so we understand here that Malayadvaja, he fathered one daughter. This was spoken in the previous verse. And now here it is said, the sons of Malayadvaja who were there, so they gave birth to thousands of sons, and all of these have been protecting the entire world up to the end of one Manu's lifespan and even afterward. So basically, Malayadvaja's sons and daughters, that description is currently going on. So as we all know, that in one day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. And in one Manu, there are 71 Divya Yugas. The current Manu that is going on is the seventh Manu, which is Vaivashata Manu. And the Divya Yuga that is going on is the 28th Divya Yuga. So in this Divya Yuga is very special, in this particular day of Brahma, because Lord Krishna appeared in this Divya Yuga, in Dwapar, towards the end of Dwapar Yuga. And following Lord Sri Krishna appeared Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Mahavadanyaya avatar. And after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following him comes a Senapati Bhakta, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Recently in one of the class we were sharing about, the topic was all about this only, I think the Kuwait class. So there we were discussing about this point, that how fortunate we all are, that somehow we have landed up here, you know, in this Manuvantara, sorry, in this Divya Yuga. Now, the entire lifespan of, okay, let's take one day of Brahma. So that is 4.32 billion years, that is one day of Brahma. Now, in this one day of Brahma, Krishna appears once and he does his Bhauma pastimes or Prakat pastimes for approximately 125 years, 130 years. And when it comes to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he comes, he did his manifest pastimes for 48 years. When it comes to Srila Prabhupada, he did his manifest pastimes for around 80, 82 years. Now, here, if we just go back and try to trace what is the time difference that is there between, you know, our glorious appearance and their glorious appearance. So, if you just trace from now, so 5,000 years back Krishna appeared, 530 years back Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, and some 125 years back Srila Prabhupada appeared. And if you talk about the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada, then it's just maybe some 50, 60 years. Not even 50 years. So now we can imagine how close we are to the Acharya, how close we are to the Kali Yuga avatar, how close we are to Krishna. In fact, we were just telling in that particular class that in future people will glorify. Like we all keep talking, saying that how fortunate people are who were in association of Srila Prabhupada, they were assisting Srila Prabhupada and all that. Now, in future, after 10,000 years, people will glorify, oh, how fortunate the devotees of ISKCON Whitefield were. They all appeared in this golden time. The difference between, the time difference between the people and the Acharya was so less, between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and them was so less, between Krishna and them, so it was so less. So we are extremely fortunate, extremely fortunate. Now, if we go to Vrindavan, we can see Govardhan, we can see Jamuna, we can see Radhakund, Shyamkund. But then, with time, everything is disappearing. So Govardhan, you know, is becoming smaller and smaller every day by size of mustard. Jamuna also, you know, she is also shrinking. So Krishna jumped from Dwadasha Kanana, which is there at Madan Mohan Mandir. And from there, now Yamuna has gone such far. So Krishna jumped from there, you know, to... Aditya Tila. Sorry, Aditya Tila. Hmm. ఆదిత్య తిల ద్వాదశ ఆదిత్య ద్వాదిత్యాదశ మతలబ్ బేసికలీ ఐఎమ్ సేయింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ దేర్ నో హీ జంప్డ్ ఆర్ నో వీ కెన్ కన్సిడర్ ద ట్రీ వేర్ హీ డిడ్ ద చీర్హరణ్ నో స్టీలింగ్ ద క్లోత్స్ ఆఫ్ గోపీస్ సో దాట్ ట్రీ ఈస్ ఆల్సో ఫార్ ఫ్రమ్ యమునా నౌ వెరీ ఫార్ నో నౌ వీ హ్యావ్ బిగ్ రోడ్ ఇన్ బిట్వీన్ నో వేర్ వీ గో టు డిఫరెంట్ పాస్ టైమ్ ప్లేసెస్ సో లైక్ దిస్ ఆల్ దీస్ ప్లేసెస్ ఆర్ డిసపియరింగ్ వన్ బై వన్ ద ష్రింకింగ్ అండ్ ద డిసపియరింగ్ సో మేబీ ఆఫ్టర్ 1,000-10,000 ఇయర్స్ it will be just there in Krishna book and Srimad Bhagavatam and they have to see the photos which are clicked by us yes so it's going to be very difficult for people in future but we are so fortunate we have got all these places and we can go and visit them we can like we read in Bhagavatam and then we go and see the place also so we have that luxury so we are very very close not to Lord Krishna to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Prabhupada so we are extremely fortunate because this to realize that we are fortunate is a very important thing because Kali personified he tries his best to pull the person down from the path of bhakti in various ways no either in the subtle form either in the gross form in various ways he'll try to pull down the person in and he's there are many many agents of Kali around so a very important thing is if the person feels fortunate he is if he is grateful if he has a gratitude in the heart automatically he'll be able to continue practicing bhakti but if he doesn't feel himself to be fortunate if he feels that if he feels the other way around then there is no hope he will just go down when it comes to his practice of bhakti so every now and then if we can somehow analyze and self introspect and see that I am in such a fortunate situation now I have to give my best If you just keep self-introspecting like this and meditate on, we'll get so many points. Like for example here, there is a discussion about, Prabhupada is talking about the parampara. Now if we start talking about the glorious parampara that we have, the Gaudiya Vaishnava parampara, I feel very, very small whenever I think about our acharyas. Talking about the six Goswamis, look at their mood. The six Goswamis, how exalted all of them were. They were not normal personalities. They were Manjaris. Rupa Goswami was not a normal personality. He was Rupa Manjari. Sanatana Goswami was not an ordinary person. He was a Manjari. All six of them, they were not normal people. Obviously, six of them are named and they are in the altar. But what about Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, and all of these great souls who went? Lokanath Goswami and Bhugarbha Goswami, they were the first people to go to Vrindavan. So all of them, in our parampara, they are so glorious. The only thing that they did was, they showed us how to practice bhakti intensely. We see the Goswamis, they had set a very high level of renunciation, how a renunciant should be. So they would be there in Kopin and Kanthasrutav. So Kopin is the undergarment. And kantha is basically it's like a blanket which is made up of torn clothes. That is kantha. So they would be having these two only with them. I was hearing about Sanatana Goswami. Oh, it's like Sanatana Goswami and all the Goswamis would go for doing Madhukari. So Sanatana Goswami would go and they would go to Mathura because nothing was there in Vrindavan at that time. So they have to walk to Mathura and that is pretty far. Even today when we travel from Vrindavan to Mathura in auto, it takes half an hour and things like that. Now walking we can imagine. If I'm not wrong, it's some 10 kilometers or 12 kilometers distance. So he would go and beg. So it is said that he would go and get... So also Madhukari is not that we go and then we get for entire month and we sit. It's like only for 7 days the person has to get. And there are some things which are given about that. That one fist of rice one day. From one house. And while doing Madhukari, we cannot beg money. Money cannot be accepted. Rajavasis, how can we accept money? So one fist of rice or flour or whatever they want to give. So what Sanatana Goswami would do was, he would be getting rotis, chapatis, whatever. 7 he would get for the entire week. And then he would dry that. He would dry and then bury it in the sand of Yamuna, in the banks of Yamuna. So one he'll eat and 6 he'll bury. And next day he'll come And then he'll go and then you know remove, and then now that dried chapati which is there, he'll remove that and then dip it in Yamuna, and now it will become wet. Now he'll have. Can you imagine the level of renunciation that these personalities have shown? Raghunath Das Goswami, he would go and eat, you know, the spoilt rice. Obviously, on the gross platform, that is Jagannath Prasad never gets spoiled, but on the gross platform, the decayed rice, you know, this person would eat. Just sustain on buttermilk, you know, for three days. These people have shown what actually is renunciation, and these people have shown what is bhakti. They would just run around here and there searching for, you know, where is Krishna, where is Srimati Radharani. It is described that the way they would go, you know, crying everywhere, you know, it's so intense. I remember recently, you know, in Loknath Goswami's appearance or disappearance, I was hearing about him. So Loknath Goswami was so intense, he would just run around in the entire forest. And finally, when he came to Kishorikund in one of the place, he was crying so much that, you know, it was as if he's going to die now. And at that time, Lord Krishna appeared in front of him. And Lord Krishna gave his own deity to him. So that deity is Vinodi Lal. You know, that is there now in Rajasthan. So we can just imagine whose descendants we are, or which parampara we belong to. This is about the six Goswamis. Talking about Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Obviously, there are many people in between, Baldev Vidya Bhushan, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and so many others are there. Just, you know, personalities on the altar. So Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, so he was a Siddha. If we go to the Samadhi of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, which comes in Navadvip, the place called Navadvip, the Navadvip railway station, that place. So there's a tree under which Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj would sit and chant the Mahamantra. It is said his chanting was so intense that the Mahamantra appeared on the leaves of the tree, and people could hear the Mahamantra, you know, from the tree. This is the level of our predecessors. And obviously, he was so intense for 140 years. You know, he was there, but all the time completely immersed in Krishna consciousness. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur took him to confirm the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, he just jumped from the basket in which he was somehow lying, and started dancing at that place. You can imagine that how much connection they had, you know, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the places, the pastime places of the Lord. That intense connection, the intense devotional mood we can see in all these personalities. Talking about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's another level. Bhaktivinoda Thakur did the revolution in our parampara. All the other personalities who are there, they all sustained this entire world by their pure devotional service. It is described that's only because of pure devotees that this world is sustaining. The day when all the pure devotees leave this place, this world will not be able to sustain. So there are a few pure devotees here and there in the entire world. So because of them, you know, this world is sustaining. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, he did a revolution, because Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara was considered, in fact, when someone would say that I'm Vaishnava, people would spit at their face. Saying, you know, Vaishnavas, because at that time Sahaja has manifested so many, you know, 13, if I'm not wrong in number, 13 classes of Sahajiyas. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we can imagine a householder with 11 kids and with a proper job and all that. He was doing research, he was trying to find out, you know, about various things, and he, you know, set proper principles, he brought back our culture. And you know, I was hearing in one place that for 14 years, it took 14 years for him to find one bona fide Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was going around and doing that. And then after that, he set everything proper, and then Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara, you know, evolved very nicely, you know, whatever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had given. And people started respecting, and people started following also. People had become so averse to become a Vaishnava at that time. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur's preaching made so nice. In fact, he was the first person, first Acharya, who had sent, you know, some people to West. And then after that, obviously, his glorious son, you know, Bimal Prasad, or our dear Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he did the rest of the part. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disciple, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye. Long time back, I had read about him. What he would eat, he would soak rice, and soaked rice he would eat, not cooked rice, soaked rice. And along with that, this eggplant, that kaccha vegetable he would eat. It went on to such an extent that he became blind, Gaurkishodas Bhaji Maharaj. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is saying, chalo, we'll go to Kolkata, I will go and, you know, get this cured. But he's like, no, I'll not step out of Navadvip. I'll not go anywhere. In that state itself, he remained. And to such an extent that anyone who would come to meet him, so he would say that if someone asked him, so Babaji Maharaj, what can I do for you? I would like to do something for you. He would say that, please go out and on the my door, please pass stool and urine and go. So that no one comes and disturbs, no one like you will come inside and disturb me again. I feel very small when I think about these personalities. He would go and sit in some toilet area, public toilet area, and chant his round so that no one disturbs him. At times, he'll, without any clothes, he'll run around in the entire place. Sometimes he'll loudly call the names of gopis, you know, sitting inside his kutir. So like this, you know, Gaurkishodas Babaji Maharaj, he set another level of bhakti. When it comes to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the glorious disciple of Gaurkishodas Babaji Maharaj, we can see that how systematically, you know, he brought in various things. Till Gaurkishodas Babaji Maharaj, it was all about Babaji initiation. So Babaji initiation, so we see the white cloth which they wear, the white dhoti or the white gamcha types. So they were all Babajis where they were busy in their own bhajan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur did preaching and then he took Babaji vesh and then he was doing bhajan. So like this, they were all into Babaji initiation. But then when it comes to Saraswati Thakur, he was a personality who started this wonderful thing of taking sannyas and wearing saffron robes. So he was the one who started that. And as all of us know, he took sannyas from Gaurkishodas Babaji Maharaj after Babaji Maharaj's disappearance. He kept the photo of Gaurkishodas Babaji Maharaj. He, you know, kept saffron clothes. He accepted the saffron clothes. He gave saffron clothes, accepted saffron clothes. So you can see, I'm sure there'll be so many controversies at that time and so many people might have gone against because, you know, it was all Babaji initiation. Suddenly one person in saffron is roaming around. We can imagine. But then he was a Simha Guru. He is a Simha Guru. So there's no question of anyone putting him down. So when it comes to Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, again, we can discuss a lot about him. Right from his childhood, you know, he has set amazing principles, very, very strict principles. His scholarly mood. And even after being a scholar, remaining humble all the time. Accepting a guru who does not know to write his own name. And being a dog of his guru throughout the whole life. This is what an acharya can do and show us what is Guru Nishtha. Whatever Gaurkishodas Babaji Maharaj said, he followed. But then Gaurkishodas Babaji Maharaj told him, never go to Kolkata. But he went. So someone asked him that, Maharaj, your Guru Maharaj told you that, you know, never go to Kolkata. Then Saraswati Thakur, he made a statement saying, where am I in Kolkata? I'm in Gaudiya Math and it's not different than Navadvip. He was the one who started to travel in nice posh cars. He was the one who started wearing a nice jacket and all that. He revolutionized the entire preaching mood of our sampradaya. And he took it to another level, establishing 64 Gaudiya Maths all around India and defeating or countering, arguing, you know, with the Mayavadis. Again, helping Bhaktivinoda Thakur to set our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya at a very high level. This is what these personalities did. And talking about A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, the Senapati Bhakta of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what Prabhupada did, no one did in the past and no one will be able to do in future. He is only the one. He is the only one personality, the Senapati Bhakta of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We can see what Srila Prabhupada did. Yesterday only while having dinner we were discussing. Just take the example of Russian devotees. Srila Prabhupada just spent 3 days there and that too one day was just searching for a person that Shyamsundar Prabhu did. But 2 days he preached. 2 days he preached to the person. This personality empowered that devotee so much that he did the Prabhupada left doing this, and then this devotee did all the revolution in the entire Russia. To such an extent that devotees were not ready to give up bhakti. People are beating them, killing them, but they are like, we are not going to leave. Can you imagine? They don't have association like ours. They didn't have the luxury of having a Bhagavatam class, Kirtan, Aarti, whatever. They were all, I remember seeing that salted bread in one place. Two devotees are meeting, they're hugging each other and they're saying that, my friend, I don't know if we'll meet again. Hare Krishna. This is how they meet and separate. So they didn't have all this. But then the conviction that these people had in practicing bhakti, we can see what Prabhupada did. He just invested all his potency there. And then it's almost like, a car which is keyed. So there are some cars which, the toys, which we can give key to it and then, it just moves. That's what Prabhupada did. Now he invested his potency and then he set everything in motion and he left. This is what he has done throughout the whole world. And we see that in the entire world, even today, preaching is going on by the potency of Srila Prabhupada. Obviously, proud preachers like myself, they might feel that they are doing preaching, they are the ones who are making devotees. But the fact is that it's Prabhupada who is preaching through his books, Prabhupada who is preaching through his lectures, Prabhupada who is preaching through his personal presence in the form of deity in every temple. One of the important contributions of Srila Prabhupada is books which he has written. Whenever we read these purports of Srila Prabhupada, firstly, they are so amazing, so precise, to the point, very, very bona fide, just replicating or just giving what the acharyas have told in the past. So this is exactly what Srila Prabhupada has given us. And these books of Srila Prabhupada will remain forever. Even after 10,000 years, maybe these books will be found here and there, and maybe reading them, one or two people in every place might become devotee. We never know. So these books of Srila Prabhupada have made difference. In fact, this was the desire, as we have been discussing from quite some time, this was the desire of our acharyas. In fact, the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed the six Goswamis to write the devotional literature. And all our acharyas have taken it forward, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada did that revolution. So after, obviously we can go on speaking, but then if we just think about each and every acharya in our line and just think about ourselves and try to understand that what qualification I have to be part of this sampradaya. Obviously I didn't speak about the current acharyas, the current spiritual masters who are there, they are glorious in themselves, having intense mood of Guru Nishtha towards Prabhupada. If you properly analyze what qualification a Baddha Jiva like myself has to get connected to the entire parampara. Whenever we speak about these acharyas, whenever we think about them, their mood of devotion, the lifestyle that they lived, their intensity of practicing bhakti, the intensity with which they preach the message of Krishna consciousness, it makes us feel very, very small, very, very small. And this is a fact that in front of these giants, we are just puny here and there, chutku people doing something. So again, the same point I would like to make here, we are extremely fortunate. This Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara is so glorious because of all these glorious personalities. And we have got this opportunity to get connected officially to Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. It is said initiations are of two types. I was hearing from one devotee. Sometimes the spiritual master, he just connects the person to the parampara. And sometimes the spiritual master has a proper connection with him and he takes him back home. So a lot of some details are there to it, which I was hearing some time back. So we have been officially, all of us who are there in ISKCON, especially the ones who have taken Diksha, one who have taken a vow of chanting 16 rounds, four regulative principles, and receive the Tulsi beads from the spiritual master, a name from the spiritual master with a title Das or Dasi, and the ones who have sat in front of Yagnakund and had, if we have noticed during the initiation Yagna, what all mantras are chanted, we will see that entire parampara is invoked in that particular place. The pujari, the priest will do that. So I didn't do this analysis in the first initiation. Second initiation, where I was sitting, I was trying to hear what the person is saying. All the acharyas are invoked. All the acharyas. In fact, even the sakhis, the gopis, you know, they are also invoked in that particular yagyakunda. And in front of them, you know, we have taken vow. So we are officially connected to this parampara, officially connected to the glorious Gaudiya Vaishnava parampara. So we can feel, we can understand how fortunate we are, how fortunate we are. But then the unfortunate situation is that being a Baddha Jeev, having this Jada Buddhi, it's very difficult to understand that what we have got, the treasure that we have got is very difficult to understand. From last few days, I'm meditating on this point of Chakshudan Dillo Jai, Janme Janme Prabhu Singh, Divya Gyan Hriday Prakashito. Chakshudan Dillo Jai, Janme Janme Prabhu Singh. So here, in every temple, we change the tune, we increase the beat, we dance. But if we see this line, how intense this line is, Chakshudan Dillo Jai, Janme Janme Prabhu Singh. Narottam Das Thakur is crying, and you know, he's telling this, that lifetime after lifetime you have been coming and giving me this Chakshudan. You're opening my eyes when it comes to spirituality, when it comes to bhakti. You know, how glorious my spiritual master is. With that mood, Narottam Das Thakur is writing this wonderful song, that is Guru Vandana. I was just thinking about myself, that how shameless and how unfortunate I am, that even after knowing that the Guru Tattva is coming lifetime after lifetime to give me bhakti, never ever in past lives, you know, I might have become sincere or serious, and that's the reason again there's another birth that we have taken. So it's actually, I was feeling very shameless when I was thinking about this, that we are happy, Chakshudan Dillo Jai, Janme Janme Prabhu Se. Every lifetime we are actually troubling the Guru Tattva to come and give us the Chakshu, to give us Divya Gyan. But there should be at least one life when we are thinking that now it's the time to give back, now is the time to go back home, back to Godhead. Because it's actually taking service, you know. What are we doing? We are doing bhakti. Bhakti means devotional service. So devotional service means we have to offer service, not accept service. But then, I was just thinking, after coming to devotional service, you know, we start taking more service, you know, from people around. Be it from Krishna, be it from Srimati Radharani, be it from Acharyas, or be it from Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru, everyone, we keep taking service. When are we going to give back? I was just thinking about this. So at least in this life, you know, we can analyze how fortunate our situation is. And again, not give any chance for Guru Tattva to again, you know, come only for us, only to deliver us, to give us Chakshu, to give us this knowledge, the Divya Gyan. So this meditation is very important for all the people who are sincere descendants of Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, because they have done already a lot. Now it's our turn to do something for them. There is no question of again calling them back. You know, some Guru Tattva will come and again they will come and help us. Obviously, which will be ordered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Srila Prabhupada or someone like that. So at least as sincere disciples, as sincere descendants of this particular Sampradaya, we have to have this conviction of doing service to them by going back home, back to Godhead this very lifetime. There is no question of again taking birth, again taking service from them, and you know, again doing nonsense, taking birth, you know, taking a human form. So there is no question of another birth if we are really sincere disciples and sincere descendants of this Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. If we really want to please the entire Guru Parampara, we have to go back home, back to Godhead. If we really want to please them, we have to attain Krishna, be a pure devotee and help this entire world to sustain. Because only pure devotees can sustain this entire universe. So, and just by the presence of a pure devotee, just by the presence of the pure devotee, many, many auspicious things will happen in this world. If today rains are there, if today the good things are happening, it means it's only because of the presence of pure devotees on this planet. It's not because of anything else. It's only because of their presence. And when they offer prayers to the Lord with complete surrender, Lord listens. So in the other class we were hearing that only devotees who are completely surrendered to the Lord, only their prayers Krishna, you know, listens. So it is their prayers that is manifesting. It is their prayers that this entire universe is sustaining. Right? So in this way, we understand that they have played their role, they have done their part, they are continuing to do their part. Now it's our turn. And when it comes to us in Krishna consciousness, what we have got in ISKCON is this Navaveda Bhakti, the nine elements of Bhakti. Never ever pure devotional service was preached like this, you know, throughout the whole world. And if we see in ISKCON, what do we talk about? We just talk about pure devotional service. We don't talk about nonsense here and there. We don't talk about any yoga. We don't talk, the asanas and all this. We don't talk about charity. We don't talk about all this. Our focus is pure devotional service and nothing else. And this was the mood that was set by Srila Prabhupada. He spoke about pure devotional service. He spoke about Krishna. He spoke about attaining Krishna. And by His mercy, we are continuing to speak the same and endeavor to follow the same. Yesterday, I was studying this 9.26, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam verse, Prabhupada's purport, Balde Vidya Bhushan Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Very nice purports, you know, all of them have given. And Prabhupada has, you know, very wonderfully presented all that. So in that, what is devotional service? You know, they have spoken about that. So there are two things. One is offering, one is doing the activity and offering the results, and one is offering the activity and then doing the activity. They are two different things. So the first one is doing the activity and then offering the results, and that is Karma Yoga. And Karma Yoga is also very narrow. Karma Yoga is all about doing one's prescribed duty and offering the results. But then the Yat Karoshi Yad Dashnashi verse, that is 9.27 Bhagavad Gita. So there, that particular verse, it's like doing all the activities and giving all the results to Krishna. So that's a bit higher than Karma Yoga. But what is Bhakti Yoga? Bhakti Yoga is working for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. Yes. So we are offering the activity itself first, and then we start working. And obviously, when the activity itself is offered, the results are also offered. So in this way, Prabhupada has given us this amazing mood of devotion service, where Prabhupada expects everyone to become pure devotee. He makes statements at so many places, even in lectures and conversations and all that. So this point that pure devotional service is what Prabhupada wants to give us. And he has said that. The platform is set where he has told it very clearly, we have to work for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. So our work is already offered to the Lord, and then we actually start working. So it's devotional service. It's not Karma Yoga. It's not anything else, you know, which people keep telling. You know, devotees sometimes say, Prabhuji, I don't think I'm doing bhakti, I'm doing Karma Yoga. Nonsense. Read first Bhagavad Gita, then you can speak what it is. So yes, we are doing devotional service, and this is what exactly set by Srila Prabhupada, not just in India, all over the world. All over the world, the center is Krishna in the temple, and all the devotees congregate to serve Guru and Krishna. This is what Srila Prabhupada has set. And in the last paragraph, he's talking about the other three sampradayas, all the four sampradayas for that matter. So none of the sampradaya is actually growing the way the Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya is growing by the mercy of the entire parampara and Srila Prabhupada. Unfortunately, other sampradayas they're not growing much because of not having this intense mood of preaching. Or the mood is there, but then the preaching is not happening so widely. So when it comes to Ramanuja Sampradaya, that is Sri Sampradaya, or Rudra Sampradaya, or Kumara Sampradaya. So all of them are just there in some parts of India, here and there. But it's only Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, that has gone outside the country, and it's just growing like anything. So this is a point to note again, that if this preaching wouldn't have happened so widely, coming to bhakti would have been very, very difficult for each one of us sitting here. Yes, all of us. Because it's only because the preaching was happening so widely, we just bumped into some devotee, that devotee pulled us into bhakti. Or else, if it would have been like, we are supposed to go to some temple, sit there, hear some pravachan, and go behind a person, then it would have been very difficult. But Prabhupada thought how to catch people and get them to temple. And that's what, by that preaching strategy, we all are here, practicing devotional service. So in this way, we understand that how indebted we are, to the entire sampradaya, to the entire parampara, to the current acharyas. We are indebted, very, very much indebted. Now is the time to give back. This is what is the point that I was meditating on Now is the time to give back by becoming a pure devotee, by preaching this message of Krishna consciousness far and wide, and helping as many people as possible. But before that, helping oneself very strongly and then helping as many people as possible. So with this, I would like to pause here.